We're in this last part of this series, Polarized. And last week, we looked at this warning that the Apostle Paul gave us. But it wasn't one of those negative warnings. It was actually a really encouraging warning of how we should live. And that word live literally means to walk, how we put our faith into motion. And there's two components that Paul gave us on how to walk. He said, hey, walk in wisdom that's sourced from God, wisdom to know God better, wisdom that God has placed upon the church to gather people to tell the world about Jesus, and wisdom of how we speak to people that, well, don't know Jesus. The second component of how to walk was to walk in worship. And Paul specifically said, hey, these days are evil, and we get that some 2,000 years later, right? Our days, well, we're living in this polarized time. And Paul said, hey, even in your current circumstances, hey, give thanks no matter what. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, no matter how polarized your world is, hey, walk in worship. Give thanks to God. Kingdom perspective. Why? Because God is working in you, through you, and through the church. And then Paul said, hey, to understand God's will. And to understand God's will, sometimes we don't understand it. Sometimes trying to grasp God's will, it leaves us with questions. It leaves us trying to figure it out. But here's the thing. God is sovereign. And God is Father. And God is with you. So we need to walk in wisdom and worship, following God's will. Now, throughout this series, we've been circling around this question, right? How do we lead in a polarized world? Well, today we're going to remove the question mark and let's just land on the statement that we must lead in a polarized world. We must. We can't push pause on our lives. We can't just lock ourselves down and hunker down. We can't just wait until it gets back to normal. Like, we're called as a church, a gathering of people, let's go, let's lead in our polarized world. And I just know with that statement, maybe for you right now, just maybe, a list of excuses are kind of creeping into your mind. The excuses of why you can't lead. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not gifted to lead, or I'm not talented enough to lead, or you're not a leadership material, or maybe you're thinking, oh, I don't have time, or Chris, like, I would lead, but God doesn't want to use me because, you know, my past and present, what I'm doing, there's no way God can use me. What are your excuses right now to the statement, not to the question, to the statement, we must lead? What excuses are coming up in your mind? We all have them. Ask anyone connected to any of our churches that have been leading in this pandemic season. Ask them if there's been times where they haven't wanted to lead. And I'm pretty sure, if not all, most all would say, yeah, definitely. I know I've had moments where I haven't wanted to lead, and my excuses have been so articulate. Pay attention to excuses, because we must lead. And here's the thing, whatever your excuses are, I'm pretty sure there's a storyline of someone in the Bible that had the same excuse, that God said, hey, I want to leverage your life to make a difference. And they had their own excuses. And here's the thing. God is a patient God who wants to come beside us no matter what our excuses are. But he wants your faith in motion. One of those leaders had their list of excuses. His name was Josiah. King Josiah, and King Josiah became king at the young age of 8. What were you doing at age 8? I mean, I was like sneaking Oreos from the kitchen to my bedroom. I was playing the Atari 2600 and the Commodore 64 at age 8. Right, I was riding my dirt bike at age 8. I was being an 8-year-old. What were you doing? I mean, King Josiah could have had his list of excuses. You know, age 8, king. You're talking about overwhelming pressure. He faced it. Well, the interaction we're going to be looking at today between God and, well, a prophet. Well, in this interaction, King Josiah is now age 21. And this is just important background information to know as we get into this interaction between, again, God and this prophet. At this current time, Josiah's 21. Let me ask you this question. What were you doing at age 21? Or maybe you're quickly approaching age 21. What do you think you're going to be doing at age 21? You know, it's probably vastly different than what you were doing at age 8. And another important piece of information to understand the setting of what's going to take place is that King Josiah was the last good king. You see, out of all the Israel's kings, there's good kings and evil kings. Good kings doesn't represent that they were perfect kings, but the good kings were pursuing a relationship with God, to know God and to follow in God's footsteps. And then there are evil kings that just completely ignored God. For King Josiah, his dad was an evil king. And not only was his dad an evil king, his granddad, Manasseh, set the bar out of all the evil kings, set the bar of being the evilest of all the kings. And at this point, God is, well, he's just done. God had already sent in Assyria to wipe out the northern tribes. Now God is getting ready to send in Babylon to wipe out Judah, the southern tribes. And this is where this conversation happens, with this as the backdrop, between God, well, and a prophet named Jeremiah. Well, you need to realize that a prophet's job description was pretty simple, and it was a really bad job description. You know, the first part of the job description was the prophet was to, well, speak for God. God would give the prophet words, and the prophet would just have to, well, say, this is what God says. So on the surface, that sounds great, but here's, well, this is what happened over and over again. The words that the prophet were to speak, people didn't like those words. They didn't want to follow God. They didn't want to walk in those footsteps. They didn't want to stay within those guardrails. They didn't want to do what God was wanting them to do. So prophets were, well, ignored over and over again. People didn't listen to them. And not only were they ignored, they were spit on and they were screamed at and they were gossiped about and they were lied about. I mean, horrible. They were beaten and they were chased out of towns and they were lonely. I mean, horrible job description. And then repeat. And repeat. And repeat. And then almost in the fine print of being a prophet, it was, by the way, you might die. And some did. Many did. That was the job description. So God comes to Jeremiah, a prophet, a spokesperson for God. And this is what God says to Jeremiah. He goes, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I mean, what a beautiful statement God is saying. We've talked about whose image. God's like, hey, Jeremiah, you're in my image. You were created. And you were created for a purpose. Could you imagine if God came to you and said those words? I mean, incredible words. And the purpose, well, here's the purpose. I pointed you as a prophet to the nations. Hey, Jeremiah, this isn't just to Israel and this isn't just to Judah. This is to everyone. Jeremiah, before you were born, I breathed into you purpose to do something great. I mean, can you almost feel the goosebumps? I mean, this is a moment. And how does Jeremiah reply? Well, Jeremiah had his excuses. Jeremiah goes, alas, sovereign Lord. I mean, he uses a phrase of deep respect. Hey, God, you're sovereign. You're all-knowing, all-powerful, but I have my excuses. I don't know how to speak. I'm not that gifted. I'm not that talented. That's not my gift-making. I went online and took an online test, and, well, speaking isn't one of my key areas. And I'm too young. And that's why it's important to understand this time period. I mean, who's the king right now? Who's the king? Josiah. King at age 8, now he's around 21 years old. I mean, Jeremiah is fully aware, and Jeremiah is like, but God, I'm too young. And God just has to be scratching his head going, Jeremiah, do you know who's king? Do you know what age he became king? Of course, Jeremiah knew all of that. This wasn't a surprise. And Jeremiah is still so focused on his excuses of why he can't lead, why he doesn't want to move his faith into action. He's like, I'm not gifted and I'm too young. I'm not gifted, I'm too young. And how does God reply? Well, God says, do not say I'm too young. Hey, Jeremiah, excuse, I'm going to call it out. Excuse, I'm going to call it out. Excuse, I'm going to call it out. You must go. Jeremiah, go. Move into action. Forget your excuses. You must go to everyone and say whatever, what God, whatever, what God, whatever I command you to say. God's like, hey, I'm just going to, we'll elevate this a little bit more. Not only are you going to go, but it's a blank page. I'm just telling you, Jeremiah, I'm not even going to tell you what I'm going to have you to say. Whatever I tell you to say, you must say it. And God goes on, he goes, do not be afraid, for I am with you and I will rescue you. Think about these two incredible promises God makes to Jeremiah. I'm with you and I'll rescue you. I'm with you and I will rescue you. What does God not promise to Jeremiah? I mean, it's implied right here. I mean, obviously, if God's promising to rescue him, means he's going to have to go through some difficult seasons. He's going to have to go through dark valleys. He's going to encounter situations where he's going to be afraid for his life. He's going to have to lead in a polarized world. He's going to have to go through it. So many times. We just think, hey, God, I'm following you. Life should be easy. And God never promises that. What God promises is that he'll be with you and he will rescue you. I mean, those two promises, no matter what you're facing now or whatever you might face, just hold on to those two promises, because it's the same promises God's saying to you right now, that he's with you and he's going to rescue you. There's an author, his name is Michael Walzer, and he writes this in such a great way. This is what he writes. He goes, first, that wherever you live, it is probably Egypt. And he was referring to the time where Israel was slaves of Egypt. And he goes, hey, no matter where you live, it's probably Egypt. I mean, think about what we're going through right now. Right? We're living the time. We just want to get out of it. We just want to leave it behind. We want the new day to get here. And he goes, second, that there is a better place, a world more attractive, a promised land, right? How many times have you thought, I know I have, God, just get us through this. We want to get back to, I want life to look different. Help us, like, let's just tick through this year as fast as we can, right? We want to get, because the grass is always greener on the other side. And then he said, third, that the way to the land is through the wilderness. Isn't that what God was saying to Jeremiah? Hey, Jeremiah, I'm going to be with you and I will rescue you, but you're going to have to go through the wilderness. You're going to have to go through the hard times. You're going to have to go through the valley. You're going to have to go through it. And then he finishes by saying, there's no way to get from here to there except by joining together. And that's why there's power of doing life together. Together, marching. Jesus simply said it this way. He goes, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Kingdom perspective. Jesus is victorious. But we're still going to have to go through the trouble. We're going to still have to go through the wilderness. So what we got to hold on to is this. What you are experiencing now, and it's a lot, sets you up for God's wow. What you are experiencing right now, if you follow God, if you choose to lean in, if you choose to say, okay, God, I'm going to join you with what you're doing, what you're experiencing now, and it's difficult, and it's polarized, and it's unprecedented, and it's dark, sets you up for God's wow. And guess what happens? Even with Jeremiah's excuse, guess what God says to him? God goes, then the Lord reached out his hand, and he touched my mouth. Think about that wow. Jeremiah had just given an excuse, and God reached out, touches his mouth, and says, I have put my words in your mouth. Hey, Jeremiah, you don't have to be talented enough. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to be smart enough. You don't have to be articulate enough. You don't have to have a degree in public communication. No, God. Hey, Jeremiah, I have put my words in your mouth. God's promises always come true. See, today I point you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow. And God's like, hey, Jeremiah, it's going to go from bad to worse. You're going to have to lead through some difficult times. You're going to have to lead by doing some things that are going to be extremely difficult for you to do. You're going to face a whole lot of opposition. You're going to face a whole lot of people that don't like you. You're going to face it. Hey, Jeremiah, hey, this is reality. Then God goes, to build and to plant. And this is why I'm so excited about the season we're in. It's been a difficult season, leading in this unprecedented time. But already we see God's building and his planting. Story after story after story. Your story. Part of what God's building and planting. God is doing something. So there's three very specific actions. You see, at Tri-County Church, we have what we call the life path. And the life path is all about, we want to help you take steps on your spiritual journey. Why? Because it's about walking. It's about walking. Taking steps on your spiritual journey. And we want to link arms with you. We are just passionate and dedicated to helping you do that. So I'm going to give you three very specific actions that I would like all of you to take. Now, we've made it really simple. So here's what I want you to do. Wherever you're sitting, wherever you're connecting, I want you to grab your phone, or maybe if you're on your laptop, you could do this on your laptop. But I want you to write down this one phone number. This one phone number. The phone number is 833-709-0962. 833-709-0962. So write that down. You can put that in your contacts. You can write it down on a note. You can scribble on a piece of paper and snap a picture of it. But just write down this number, because, again, we want to make this such a simple step for all of you to take. Three actions. Three actions. Three actions to take a step, to move with God, because God is on the move. The first step is this. Step into a life group. Step into a life group. If you're not part of a life group, you need to be. And right now, I get, there's excuses. Maybe you were part of one and it didn't turn out well. Maybe you're part of one and you got hurt. Maybe, you know, you're just looking at time and it's sports season and you're just trying to, I get the time excuse. I get the hurt. I get all of it. I'm just saying God has designed us to do life together. And especially in this season, we need each other. So join a group. And all you have to do, text one word, group, to that number I had you write down, 803-709-0962. Text group. We'll send you a link that will help you get connected into your group. That will help you take that step. That simple. Send that one word group to that number, and we'll help you do that. And maybe for you, you've been in a life group. Maybe you've been in a life group for years and you love your life group, but maybe, just maybe right now, God is nudging you to lead a life group. We need some of you to lead a life group so we can get more people into a life group, experiencing community together. So maybe right now, God's just stirring. And again, it's going to be a hard step. Why? Because you love your life group and you love the relationships, you love the memories, and you love eating together. Guess what? You can still eat together. But maybe, just maybe right now, you take that step to lead, which leads to the second action. Step up and lead. I'm asking you, lead with us. Lead with us. Whether you think you're gifted or not, whether you think you're talented or not, whether you think you have time or not, whether you think you're qualified or not, whether or not you think God will allow you to or not. I mean, whatever your excuse, just come on. Lead with us. Because I'm telling you, God right now is planting and growing, and it is exciting what God is doing. And we're seeing this happen in so many people's lives that are taking a step up and leading with us, and what God is doing in them and through them as they engage God in God's purpose and God's mission. It is, I tell you, it is something. So if you want to lead with us, or maybe you're not even sure what that means, but you just feel God stirring right now, same phone number, just text the word lead to 833-709-0962. Same phone number. That's why I had you write it down first. Just text that word lead. We will connect with you. We'll connect with you. And start leading with us. And the third step is step out and love first. step out and love first. We all know this fall into these winter months, we have no idea what's going to happen across our country. And this is the time where the church must rise up, where we love first, where we put the towel over our arms and we serve people across all of our communities. When we first went into lockdown, we launched the website Fearless Church. It's Fearless Church and put the dot right before that last CH. And that's still live. If you want to help, if you need help, you can go there. Or with the same phone number, 833-709-0962, just text the word fearless. We'll send you that link. But here's the thing. We must love first. We must put the towel over our arms. We must continue to serve all of our communities. Why? Because we have the message of hope. So let's love people by serving people to Jesus. Let's love people by serving people to Jesus. Three actions. Take them now, no matter what your excuses are. And you have them, and they're good, and they're convincing. Come on, come on, come on. Step into a life group. Step into a life group. Step into relational community together. Step up and lead, because God is doing something significant through his church. And step out and love first. Step into life group, step up and lead, step out and love first. We must lead in our polarized world because we have the message of hope, Jesus, that can change individual lives, families, and entire communities. So come on, church, let's go. Let's be a bright light. Let's be a bright light everywhere we go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for a series where we just face the reality we're in, but also face that, God, you are doing something significant. Lord, I just pray for every single person, because I know right now there's a whole lot of tension. But Lord, I pray that that tension gets their attention, that you want to do something incredible in them and through them. They just have to go. They have to take the step. Send that text, click on that link, just take action. Because God, you want to do something so incredible in them, through them, just like you wanted to do in Jeremiah's life. Something so incredible in him and through him. And Lord, I'm just thankful. I'm thankful that Jeremiah could share his fear, his excuses with you. And God, you still said to him, yeah, I hear you, but I still want you, Jeremiah. I still want you. Lord, I pray that every person will hear that. That you created them with purpose. And right now is the moment. Right now is the moment. God, I'm thankful for what you're doing and that we get to be a part. We get to be a part of your movement. In your name I pray. Amen.